and all access football inclusive. And all access football inclusive.
Oh, yes. It's week four. You know what's up. There's a chill in the air. You know the score. And if not, that's what we're here for. Fantasy Football Insiders, as always, every Sunday morning from 8 to 10 a.m., 2 hours of power, no commercials, rough, rugged, and raw on the Fantasy Sports Channel, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. I am Ross Stradamus, Ross Mandel, sitting in this week for Rick Saratella. I am joined by our own man of the cloth, the Reverend Ralph Mancini. Rev, what's going on week four?
Hey, man, week four of the roller coaster ride they call the NFL regular season. Let's get to it.
Oh, you know it, man. We got the chat room popping. Got some phone calls already. If you want to call in, the number is 347-945-6275. We'll take your calls. You know how we do, and if you don't, this is it. We cover all the games. We give you the studs, duds, and sleepers from all of them. We'll each make predictions, and of course, we'll get to as many chat room questions and phone calls as we can, because that's what we're here for. We're here to serve you folks. That's how we be. Rev, last week was some pretty interesting stuff. You know, the two games or the two teams that everyone wants to talk about, are they for real, the Buffalo Bills and the Detroit Lions? First, let's start with what the Bills pulled off in Orchard Park against those Patriots last week. I know you checked out the game. What'd you think?
Well, I mean, the Buffalo Bills have taken it to another level, and I think a big reason for that is, number one, their coach, Chan Gailey. I mean, he's just a good offensive coach. He's a guy who knows matchups. And then the other reason why I think that the Buffalo Bills are taking that next step is because of Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, you know, we saw this guy come up through the ranks, and he never really looked that special. He never had that great of an arm. I remember watching him with the Cincinnati Bengals and thinking to myself, well, this guy's a career backup, and he's lucky that he's in the league. But over the past couple of years, I mean, this guy has really taken that next step. He's a guy that obviously is very intelligent. He's got that Harvard degree, but he uses that intelligence to his advantage. I watched that game versus the New England Patriots, and just watching him just make adjustments at the line of scrimmage before the play, trying to point out mismatches, and also figuring out what the defense is going to do before the play. I mean, the way he was doing that, he really put his offense in favorable situations. He's got a group of young receivers that, and it's not just one guy. It's not just Stevie Johnson. It's a bunch of guys. It's Donald Jones. It's Nelson from Florida. It's even the tight end, Scott Chandler. All of these guys are stepping up, and he's got an improving offensive line. And that's really, I think, the area that has really, really improved is that offensive line. They're protecting him better. He's got Fred Jackson doing damage. And, look, as far as the defense goes, Buffalo just doesn't have a shutdown defense, but it's getting better. And at the very least, even if, you know, they can't hold you to 10 points, at least that defense is creating turnovers. I mean, to force Tom Brady to throw four interceptions is pretty amazing, considering the fact that Tom Brady had four interceptions all year last year, and you force him to throw four interceptions in one game. That's very remarkable, I think. And, you know, as far as the Buffalo Bills go this week, they just got to go out and take care of business. They're the better team. They're better than Cincinnati. I know they're on the road, but this is, you know, one of those games where you say to yourself, hey, if this is a team we're going to take seriously this year, this is a game that they need to win. And I think they will.
Yeah, I have my doubts about them winning, but I agree with what you're saying. And to me, I'm very happy that Freddie Jackson's finally getting his due. I mean, this guy's toiled around. He's been there. But, I mean, right now, I don't know that there's a better fantasy back right now. And, you know, what the Bills are starting to show, and I hate to say it, but with the new rules and all this touchiness that the refs have, you might not really need that much of a defense to win in the NFL these days. And the Lions and the Bills might be perfect examples of that, and they might be 10-1 before we realize that's what's going on. I mean, New England doesn't have much of a D. We saw the Packers could be exploited. The Saints can be exploited. I mean, these are the best teams we're talking about, and they don't exactly have impressive defenses. I mean,
well,
Detroit's getting better. They're solid up front, but none of these teams really has a defense.
Well, the thing is, you know, nowadays the way football's being played now, even the good defenses are going to give up yards. I think, like, especially in fantasy football, you know, what you define as a good defense is a defense that creates turnovers and a defense that gets you some sacks as well. You know, you're not going to have too many defenses that just do not allow yards. It's a different game nowadays. There are a lot more penalties being called. A lot more teams are throwing the ball all over the field. So, you know, I mean, you got to you know, say to yourself, what's a good defense nowadays? You're not going to find any 2000 Ravens defenses out there. That just doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally not allowed to exist anymore. But I think, you know, if you want to start up front, I know Nick Fairley's banged up a little bit, but the Lions have been pretty impressive up front and overall.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and you know, the thing that has impressed me also is that you're getting some good stuff from the Lions, even on the back end. You know, with a guy like Amari Spivey in his second year, I've watched this guy since the preseason at safety. He's a physical guy. He seems to be at the right place at the right time. And then they go out and acquire Eric Wright, who had an awful season with the Cleveland Browns. I don't know if it was because of injury, but he's playing much better this year. And so it seems like all the pieces are coming together on that defense.
I agree. So do you think both of these teams will leave week 4-0, or one or both of them? I mean, I guess you already said the Bills are going to win. Do you think the Lions are going to win in Dallas?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Dallas is coming off a short week. They're pretty banged up right now. And, you know, quite frankly, I just don't have a lot of faith in that Dallas offensive line when it comes to protecting Tony Romo, who's already playing with those bruised ribs. So I like Detroit in this game. Obviously, on offense, they're hard to stop, but I do think that they're going to get to Tony Romo this week.
Yeah, and Calvin Johnson has scored 2 touchdowns a game against better corners than Terrence Newman, so I expect him to pretty much have his way today. All right, we already got a couple of chat room questions going. I see some familiar names in there. Chicago Beers, Jacques Strapp up in there, Snake Eyes, of course. The boys and Walkie 33, welcome back. Rev, let me give it to you. We're talking up Ryan Fitzgerald. Do you start him or Ben Roethlisberger this week? The boys wants to know.
Wow, that's a good question. I think, you know, I think this is a game, as far as Pittsburgh is concerned, I think this is a game that where they have to reestablish the run. And I think this is a Rashad Mendenhall type of game. I think that, look, he looked awful last week. And when I was watching that game, I said to myself, stop giving him the ball, because that offensive line wasn't creating any holes. And Mendenhall just wasn't, I don't know, he just wasn't aggressive enough out there. But, you know, the Houston Texans can be run upon. They're averaging 4.8 yards. I mean, they're allowing 4.8 yards per carry to opposing running backs. I don't know. I think I just might go with Fitzpatrick this week. I don't like those Bengals safeties. I think this guy is red hot. I know Cincinnati's defense is decent, but I'm going to go with Fitzpatrick. You know, look, Ben Roethlisberger physically is the superior quarterback, but I saw him make a lot of bad throws last week. And I don't know. I don't think that defense is clicking on all cylinders quite yet. So I'll go with Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, and that offensive line continues to get banged up. So, you know, things aren't going to get better for Big Ben here. But let me give you another option here. Big Ben or Cam Newton?
No, I'm going with Big Ben because, look, I think Cam Newton might have a bit of a hard time trying to figure out that Chicago Bears defense. Look, the Bears are not a great team, but say this. They do play well, and they play that cover 2 defense. On defense, they play well, I meant, because what they're going to do is basically they're going to make those tight windows even tighter for Cam Newton, and it's very hard for a rookie quarterback to sort of try to, you know, figure out and break through with that defense. I think that Obviously, Big Ben has the better matchup over here. He's got better receivers to throw to overall. I'll go with Big Ben.
Yeah, I think definitely Big Ben here. Now, I know who I'm taking out of these. This is non-PPR running backs. Needs two. Mendenhall, James Starks, LeGarrette Blount, or your boy Mark Ingram. I'm telling you right now, I don't buy into the Pittsburgh running game this week. I'm going with James Starks, who's going to get all the play against a very bad defense in Green Bay and in Denver. And I'm going with LeGarrette Blount. I'm taking those two. Rev, what do you say?
I agree with that. You know, I think that, look, the Indianapolis Colts, they did a great job last week versus the Steelers. But let's face it, you know, the Indianapolis Colts were playing a primetime game. They were on Sunday night. They put their best foot forward, and they played against a banged-up Pittsburgh offensive line. I think that Tampa Bay's offensive line is in better shape. I don't buy this Indianapolis defense. I think they're small. I don't think they're very physical. And, yes, I think that, you know, with LeGarrette Blount, if they give him the ball enough times, he's going to pound them to death, and he's going to break through in the second half.
Yeah, I see it. All right, now this isn't a 25-75 PPR here, so we need one. Tim Hightower, Jahvid Best, or Peyton Hillis? Need one.
Okay. You know, man, to me it's between Best and Hightower. I'll go with Hightower just because I think he's playing better than any one of these three running backs. Look, he's got a little bit of a timeshare going on there with Roy Helu, but he is getting a lot of touches still. He did score last week. He's great catching the football. I like Hightower in that Mike Shanahan offense. I'm going to go with Hightower. And he's got a good matchup this week.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I think I could run for 100 yards against the Rams. I think last week Hightower gotten some hot water because he kept slipping all over the field. You know, he obviously didn't have the right cleats on. There were threats of Ryan Terrain coming in for him. But, look, I don't think there's going to be any problems on the turf. I think the turf suits him just fine, and so does the Rams' defense. I'd go with Hightower here. Not sure Peyton Hillis coming back after he lost 12 pounds. You know, Montario Hart, is he going to get some time? I'm not convinced. And, you know, frankly, no one's really been able to run the ball in Dallas, so I don't know what Jahvid Best is going to do. They turned him into only a receiver last week, and I think it's going to happen again this week. All right, one last one, then we're going to hit the phone line. Non-PPR, need two of these receivers. Vincent Jackson, Roddy White, Stevie Johnson, or Lance Moore? Got to have two, non-PPR.
Okay. I'll definitely go with Vincent Jackson. I love that matchup he has versus the Miami Dolphins. I mean, they're going to be playing without Vontae Davis, who is the best cornerback in that Dolphins secondary. I think this is a game where, you know, Phillip Rivers just goes up and down the field. I don't give the Dolphins much of a chance to win this game. As I said, they're decimated in the secondary. I think Vince Jackson is the go-to guy. He's got size. He's got speed. He's going to be hard to stop this week. And then the other guy I like here is Roddy White. Look, he's coming off a tough week. He dropped a number of balls. I think he's dropped about four or five passes already this season. But, I mean, look, this is a must game for Atlanta. And you talk about the Seattle secondary, and they're kind of banged up too. You know, safety Cam Chancellor, who's been playing very well this year, he's going to be out of this ball game, and so I see Roddy White having a nice game, probably the best game of his season this week against Seattle. So I'm going to go with Vincent Jackson and Roddy White.
Yeah, you know, I'm tempted by Stevie Johnson. Love the guy. I just don't see the Bills going off like they have the first 3 weeks of the season in Cincinnati. We'll see what happens. But Roddy White, pretty safe bet against the opposition, and likewise with Vincent Jackson. So I think we're in agreement there. Going to hit the phone lines. I think I might know who this is. As Rick would say, 609, you're on the line. What's on your mind?
Well, my brothers with three different mothers, man. DelVal, 58-13, baby. Beach Stevenson, they're on a roll.
There you go.
Hey, they're doing good. Hey, Junior's got a question for you. He's in a dilemma. He's got Julio Jones, but he's also got Dez Bryant. He's got Des Bryant in there now, along with Akeem Nix. Does he try to keep Des Bryant in there, or does he go with Julio Nix this week? PPR league. So,
well,
you want your opinion on that? He's sleeping.
Yeah, you got to be wary of Des Bryant's health. I mean, he's very iffy. And I think you got to pay attention to the injury reports, obviously. But I think even with that, you know, we saw even when he played, when he was banged up, he didn't really do a lot, even though he might have been on the field a few times. He certainly looked much less than 100%. And there's one thing I can't stand is playing fantasy guys and then getting a big zero out of them, no matter how good they are. And I love Des Bryant. But I think I would avoid him this week. And I think Jones and Nix, you know, they both have pretty good matchups. So I wouldn't have a hesitation to leave Des Bryant on the bench. Rev, I don't know if you agree.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. Look, Des Bryant, even if he does play, he's not going to be at full speed. He's not going to be at full strength. And we saw that last week where he kept coming in and out of the ball game. Look, this guy, to me, in my opinion, this guy needs about a week or two off just to get himself back healthy again. He's got the bye week coming up. So, look, if I were coaching the team, I wouldn't play him this week. I would rest him up and get him ready. I wouldn't play Des Bryant if I was in a fantasy league.
I'll tell him that there. In my standard league, again, I still got Alston out, but I've been going with normally Macklin and Steve, you know, Steve Johnson of Buffalo. Do I keep Macklin in there? I mean, Johnson's a no-brainer, but do I keep Macklin in there, or do I take a chance with either Deion Branch or Lance Moore, standard league? Because I have to start two receivers. So is Macklin still the better choice of the last two?
Well, you know something? With Deion Branch, he's a guy that I like a lot, but he's a guy that can give you a zero also because I believe he didn't even have any catches last week. But the guy I do like is Lance Moore, though. You know, one thing to look at with Lance Moore, he had 9 targets last week and 9 catches. He's got great chemistry with Drew Brees. In that game versus Jacksonville, I mean, that is going to be the biggest blowout of the week, in my opinion. And so I think Lance Moore is going to be open all day long. Macklin is not at 100% health-wise. Quite frankly, I feel more comfortable with Lance Moore this week.
I don't disagree with you, Rev, but I would wait to see, you know, pregame what they say about Macklin, because when he's on, he's capable of doing a lot more than Lance Moore. But I think, again, going by the theory that I had earlier for Des Bryant, Macklin's banged up, and I don't like to see that. And I agree with the Rev about Branch. 2 hit and miss for me so far this year. I was shocked that he didn't do anything last week. I mean, I guess Wes Welker did everything.
yeah.
So I think I'm going to have to agree with the Reverend here.
All right, I'll wait and see. And last thing, I heard you say something about Hillis. I actually sat Hillis last week because he had that strep throat. I do have him in my other league because I have him and Chris Johnson. My other is either Jonathan Stewart or Brandon Jacobs. You know, it's a standard league. But is Hillis, I guess he's playing, I mean, from what I understand, because I had Hardesty, so my league made me drop Hardesty since they said, hey, you know, Hillis is playing. But I heard you say something about he lost weight. Is he going to be okay, or I didn't know that.
I think he's going to be okay. I don't know that you're going to get what you got last year out of him, but I think, you know, in a game like today, he's definitely going to get, you know, probably double Hardesty's carries, but he's not going to get 27, 28 carries this week. I think they'll work him back slow, get, you know, what, 15, 16, 17 carries, but I think that'll be enough combined with his catches out of the backfield. I think you definitely go with Hillis today.
Okay. All right, I'll definitely do that. Thanks, Ez. I appreciate it. You got me 3-0, man. Hopefully I go 4-0. I appreciate the advice as usual. You guys have an enjoyable weekend. Best of luck to you guys in your leagues on Sunday, and we talk next weekend. Enjoy your day, guys.
Same,
thank you.
Sir.
Thank you.
Take it easy.
Take care.
We got one phone call remaining. We got 267. Where's that at? You're on the line.
Hey, this is Wild Dawson, Pennsylvania.
Oh, there you go. What's up in the PA?
Just a little bit of rain right now, getting ready for the games. But question for you. I've got 2 quarterbacks. I'm seeing who I need to play today. I got Ryan Fitzpatrick against Cincinnati or Eli Manning against Arizona.
Oh, Rav, what do you think? Fitzpatrick, Eli?
Yeah, they both have, I think, pretty decent matchups here. Look, Eli Manning is coming off of a great game, obviously. But to me, he's a little erratic. I mean, he's a little hit or miss. On a couple of those throws, on one of those touchdown passes, he shouldn't even thrown the ball where he put it. But, you know, the receiver made a great play on it. Look, I'm going to go with Fitzpatrick because, to me, I think he's the more consistent quarterback. I think that the Giants, I think they're going to have a bit of a hard time with Arizona. I don't think it's going to be an easy game for them. I think they do pull it out, but I like Fitzpatrick better. I think he's making better decisions. I think he's the more consistent quarterback.
Yeah, I'm going
to have to. I just got one more question.
Go ahead.
Now, one of the owners have offered me Foster for Fitzpatrick, and my running backs right now is Maurice Jones-Drew, Mike Tolbert, and Willis McGahee. What do you think about that trade?
I think if I'm you with that running back stable, I'd make that trade.
All right.
Rev?
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Have a nice one.
Yeah, I didn't hear the entire trade.
You know, Arian Foster, essentially, he'd be getting for Ryan Fitzpatrick and, you know, his running backs. He has MJD, but he also, his second running back is a choice between Tolbert and Willis McGahee.
So he's training all of those guys for Arian Foster?
No.
Look.
Oh, no, Foster for Fitzpatrick.
Oh, is that it? Okay. Yeah, I think that's a good deal. I think it's a great deal. Not a great deal. I think it's a good deal because at Arian Foster, you don't know what you're going to get out of him. You don't know if he's going to be healthy all year. And I think that Tate is going to play a big role. And Fitzpatrick, I think, has proven himself to be a quality quarterback in this league. So if you need a quarterback, I think that's a good trade.
Yeah, I mean, you got to look at what you have on your roster before you make a trade. And I appreciate the fact, you know, that guy told us who actually was on his team, you know, because most people don't do that. They're like, oh, should I do this trade? But you don't know who they're replacing. So props to that guy for doing that. All right, speaking of trades, what do you think of this trade? Dez Bryant and Jonathan Stewart for Santonio Holmes and Jahvid Best. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I think I like the Holmes and Best part of the deal a little bit more. Now, look, Santonio Holmes, he's not 100% healthy, but he's been pretty productive, I think, in the early part of the season. Dez Bryant, he's a guy that, you know, he's got great potential, great upside, but he's a guy that he seems to be taking a lot of big hits, and he can't stay on the field. And so, to me, you could take all that talent and throw it out the window if you don't show me any durability. And as far as Jonathan Stewart goes, I mean, on that team, Cam Newton is the best running back slash quarterback on that team, running threat, I should say. So I'll go with Holmes, and I'll go with Best. I know Best is not the most durable guy, but at the very least, if you're playing a PPR league, this guy is solid gold in that offense.
Yeah, I agree with you, and you know, it would be different to me if the Panthers actually went with the back who's playing better, but I don't have faith that they're going to do that because Stewart looks infinitely better than D'Angelo Williams this year, but we all know they're not going to bench Williams after they gave him, you know, $1 billion for no reason this offseason. So that has me a little concerned about that end. And look, I know what I'm going to get out of Santonio Holmes. The guy's going to produce. And I'm a little wary, like you are, about Dez Bryant being able to stay on the field. So I think I agree. That's a good trade, the already made trade. All right, a couple more chat room questions. We'll hop right into the games here on Fantasy Football Insiders. PPR, Rev. Dave Nelson needs one. Dave Nelson, Mike Tolbert, or Sidney Rice?
Okay. Okay, I'm a big Mike Tolbert fan, but with Ryan Matthews in there emerging in that San Diego offense, I don't think Tolbert is an automatic anymore each and every week to put in as your flex back. I know what I'm going to get out of David Nelson. David Nelson, by the way, has the same amount of receptions as Stevie Johnson.
Yep.
I'm going to go with David Nelson here. Look, as far as Sidney Rice goes, yeah, I like him as an athlete, but he's playing with a banged-up shoulder. He's playing with, you know, the worst starting quarterback in the NFL. Well, it's between Tavares Jackson and Matt Cassel, but you get the picture there. I'm going to go with David Nelson. I like him. He's a big guy, 6'5". He's got a big role on that team. I like his quarterback. I like the way Buffalo is playing. I like David Nelson this week.
I agree with you, Rev. This is sad. We're agreeing way too much. Okay, non-PPR. Well, I guess the guy has Beanie with – I don't understand this question. Beanie with Felix Jones and Beanie with Javid Best. So I guess it's basically Felix Jones or Javid Best.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, first of all, he's got to make sure that Beanie Wells is playing, okay?
I think he's going to play, I don't know how much.
Right. So I don't know why he thinks Beanie Wells is a given there, because I might just go with Felix Jones and Javid Best. But if I had to compare Felix Jones with Javid Best, and I had to pick one, man, I go with Javid Best because I know that Javid Best is healthy. Look, Felix Jones looked good last week, and he is going to play. But I have a feeling that, you know, the short choice is going to get carries. The rookie, DeMarco Murray, is going to get some carries. I know what I'm going to get out of Best. He's going to get a lot of PPR points. As far as running the ball goes, look, Best's probably not going to get a lot of yards. Man, I don't know. I have a feeling Best is going to have a better game. That's just me.
Yeah, I kind of lean.
Oh, I'm sorry. I saw non-PPR there. Non-PPR. If it's a non-PPR, I'll probably go with Felix Jones.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really see Best being useful at all in a non-PPR.
Yeah, yep.
I mean, he'll get receiving yards, but it's not going to be enough. I mean,
right.
I don't think it's going to be enough.
But. Yeah, in a non-PPR, yep.
Okay, we got a couple more questions. We'll get to the games. Okay, who is this? Who is this? Let me take a look here. All right, we got non-PPR, need three. All right, need three, so get the pen ready. Your boy Sean Green, Danny Woodhead, Stephen Ridley, Dane the Immortal Sanzenbacher, David Nelson, or Austin Colley. I need three non-PPR. I know who I'm taking.
Wow. Let's see. Well, obviously you're going to go with Nelson here. He's a guy that you want to use most weeks. You have to go with Sean Green. Look, I don't like the guy. He's not playing that well, but he's going to get a lot of carries. And he is going to get the touchdowns if the Jets are going to score any touchdowns on the ground. So you go with Green, you go with Nelson. And then as far as the other four guys are concerned, look, I love Stephen Ridley, and I think he's going to have a bigger role as the weeks go on. But to start him this week is kind of chancy, I think. It's kind of risking things. So to me, I don't know, if it's a PPR league.
No, non-PPR.
Oh, non-PPR? Damn it. Let's see. I don't know. I'll go with Sanzenbacher, I guess. I mean, I'm not high on Austin Colley. I'm not high in the Indianapolis passing game. I guess I'll go with Sanzenbacher this week.
Yeah, to me, you know, the fact that Woodhead and Ridley are even on this list is the exact reason that I would avoid them this week, is because you throw in the law firm and you got three people in there splitting all the touches in the backfield, and you don't know what's going to happen. What I do know is that Jay Cutler seems to prefer Sanzenbacher to his ex Vanderbilt teammate Earl Bennett, and I think Sanzenbacher is now the man there. He's the number two guy there, and he's always looked for in the red zone there. He's a good possession sort of guy. I kind of like him this week, so I agree with you. I'm going with Sean Green by default just because he's back and he's going to get, you know, 17, 23 touches. And David Nelson was the first one I checked off. You got to go with him. And I like Sanzenbacher to find the end zone this week, so I think we're in agreement. All right, it's time to hop into the games here. A couple of boring ones at first, but we'll pick up steam later. I'm going to kick it off with the Buffalo Bills fresh off their trip man, oh, man, through the world of other dimensions, they are beating the Patriots for the first time since, I think, the Eisenhower administration. They travel to Cincinnati to take on a sort of enigmatic Bengals team. I don't know what to make of them, but, I mean, as we discussed earlier, you got to start Ryan Fitzpatrick. The guy's thrown at a 65% completion clip. He's got 9 touchdowns, 3 picks. I think I like it. Cincinnati's got a pretty decent pass defense so far, but they haven't exactly faced top-notch competition, so I think you can start him safely. You know, Freddie Jackson, what else can you say about him? He's going to have a big day like he seems to every week. You know, Cincinnati might be top 5 in pass defense, but they haven't faced a team with the receiving and running options that Jackson gives the Bills, so I think he's going to be deadly out of the backfield as Cincinnati blitzes, and Cincinnati's going to have to blitz. They're going to have to put some pressure on Fitzpatrick, so I think Fred Jackson will fill in that empty space. He's definitely a top 10 guy to me this week. You know, every week I think Cedric Benson is going to be suspended, but every week his appeal seems to draw out, and he's going to play this week, and you know, the Bills are giving up .116 on the ground against the run and 4.7 yards per carry. And you know Cincinnati is going to want to control that clock and keep that explosive Buffalo offense off the field. And I think they'll actually do that to a degree. So I think it's a good bet to start Benson this week. And, you know, we talked about Nelson. I think he's a nice, you know, lower end play. But I like Stevie Johnson a lot. He's going to have a good but not a great game. Leon Hall probably be on him most of the time. I think Johnson has a little bit of a nagging groin issue. So think, you know, 75 yards and a touchdown. I don't think he's going over 100. Look, you know, the dud in this week to me is the tight end, Scott Chandler. He caught a touchdown. He seems to be one of those ghosts who just shows up invisible in the end zone, wide open for some reason, but he just doesn't get enough looks. He doesn't play. He plays fewer than half the snaps they have. He just doesn't get enough looks. You know, 2 catches for 10 yards last week. He's too far down in the pecking order for me to rely on him, especially with all the other good tight ends that are in the league. So I would avoid him. The sleeper for me, you know, it's funny because the one week I like him is the one week Rick isn't here, but I sort of like Jermaine Gresham this week, especially after seeing what Rob Gronkowski, the tight end for New England, did against Buffalo's D last week. There was an awful lot of running room there down the seam, and Gresham's athletic. I think he'll be able to get down there. I think Andy Dalton isn't exactly going to want to throw the ball that much, but I think when he does, his first option might, in fact, be the tight end here. So I'd sort of like Gresham as a low-end tight end this week. Rev, I got to tell you, I think the Bengals are going to pull the upset here. I think after the emotional letdown and Cedric Benson running and maybe a deep A.J. Green ball or two, I think for some reason, I don't know, like the Ravens got it in week 2, I think the Bills are going to get it in week 4. I like Cincinnati in this game, 23-20. You got a score for me?
Yeah, I think it is going to be tough for Buffalo, but I do think they pull it out in the end. I will go with Buffalo somewhere in the area of 27-23. I understand this potentially being a letdown game for Buffalo coming off that big victory over New England, but this isn't a veteran team. This is a young team. If it was a veteran team, maybe I could see it, but this is a young team. They haven't tasted success yet. I think they know that there's a lot of work out ahead of them. I think Buffalo takes this one in a very tight game.
I wouldn't be shocked, and I'd actually be kind of happy. I like the Bills story. All right, let's go over, staying in the state of Ohio here, the Tennessee Titans come in to battle the Cleveland Browns. And, Rev, talk to me. Is Chris Johnson going to finally get it going? What's the deal?
Well, you know, look, Chris Johnson, I think that he is a victim of being too greedy out there. I think that he goes to the outside way too much. He's looking for that big play, and it's just not coming to him. You know, he's going to have to be more realistic. You know, he's going to have to settle for those 4- and 5-yard gains before, you know, he can explode for those, you know, 60-yard big hitters. But as far as this ball game is concerned, you know, I'm not in love with anybody really as a stud here. You know, I'll give you a mild stud. And the guy that I kind of like is Ben Watson. look, even though I'm a big fan of Evan Moore, Watson is still the number one tight end in Cleveland. Colt McCoy doesn't have a big arm, and he loves utilizing his tight ends a lot. Last week, Watson led the team with 10 targets, 5 catches for 64 yards. I can definitely see a strong Titans pass rush force the quarterback to check it down to the one-time New England Patriot. The duds here, I'm not too high on Peyton Hillis this week. And here's the other thing. Tennessee is suddenly a top-10 team versus the run. They're limiting opponents to 89 yards per game, rushing yards, and 3.1 yards per carry. You know, also, Hillis owners can't be enthused over the fact that Montario Hardesty will continue playing an increased role in that running game. And, you know, going forward, I mean, I know Montario Hardesty is one of these guys. He's got no knees. But if he does stay healthy, I think that this might turn out to be a committee situation because they do like Montario Hardesty a lot. Let's not forget, you know, they drafted this kid for a reason. They like him a lot, and they thought that he had better running skills than Peyton Hillis. And so, you know, Peyton Hillis just, you know, was a guy that took advantage of a bad situation with Hardesty being out a whole entire year. But, you know, this is something you need to pay attention to. If Hardesty stays healthy, he is going to get a lot of carries. He's going to get a lot of play this year. The other dud here is Nate Washington. Look, Washington is off to a great start, but I think he's going to hit a bit of a road bump versus Cleveland as the Browns' improved secondary has been very stingy against receivers. In fact, only one wideout has scored against them so far, and that was A.J. Green, and that was on a fluky broken play. The other thing to consider is the presence of Joe Hayden at cornerback, who is quickly becoming a premier shutdown artist. The sleeper here is the aforementioned Montario Hardesty. And the other guy that I kind of like here, he's got a chance, and that's Damian Williams. You know, with Kenny Britt out for the year, the former USC Trojan, he gets a chance to prove himself. Look, Cleveland's number two cornerback is Sheldon Brown. He's dealing with a groin injury, so Williams might have a chance to slip past him for one or two big plays. The second-year wide receiver should be very motivated since there are other guys on that team that are vying for a starting spot. There's competition there between, you know, Williams, Lavelle Hawkins. Now, Donnie Avery is a guy that was recently signed, but I like Damian Williams. He's a guy that the team's been high on. He's been a little bit slow to adapt to the NFL, to adapt to that offense. But I've seen him play in college. I know he has the skills. He has the size. He's a great route runner. So I think he's a deep sleeper this week. As far as this ball game is concerned, I don't see a lot of points. I think I will go with Cleveland, though, in a very tight one. I'll go Browns 19, Titans 17.
Yeah, I have a similar score. I have Cleveland 16 to 10. I just think that, you know, Matt Hasselbeck's had a terrific season so far, but he hasn't gotten hit. And believe it or not, the Browns are leading the league in sacks. And, you know, DeQuell Jackson is playing his rear end off. And I think he's going to introduce himself to Mr. Hasselbeck a few times. And we all know how Matty Hass gets when he gets knocked around. He gets a little skittish, hears the footsteps, starts throwing erratically, and I think Cleveland, you know, I think they're going to 3-1 this week, which is a little crazy. All right.
And watch out for Jamal Sheard, by the way. He's very good also on that defensive line.
Couple of chat room questions real quick, and then I'm going to hit the phone line one more time. Non-PPR needs one. Jabed Best, Rashard Mendenhall, superstar Jimmy Graham, Stevie Johnson, or Lance Moore? Man, Lance Moore is in every question.
Pick one. Yeah, look, I would normally go with Rashard Mendenhall, and I think that he does have a better game this week. Jimmy Graham is a guy that I like every week, but I'm probably going to go with Stevie Johnson here. I think he's the safest pick. I don't, you know, look, Mendenhall might have a bigger upside, but I know what I'm going to get out of Stevie Johnson, and I like that Buffalo passing game. And I don't like those Cincinnati safeties. I'll go with Stevie Johnson.
Yeah, it's close to me, but, you know, and I know he's a tight end, but I like Graham's potential this week more than I like Johnson's. One more, or two more, rather, one quick one. Non-PPR needs one. This is a tough choice here. Ryan Matthews, Tim Hightower, again, Stevie Johnson, or Cincinnati's A.J. Green? Need one. Non-PPR.
See, to me, it's one of the two running backs.
Yep.
It's between Matthews and Hightower.
Great matchups for both.
Yeah. You know, I'll go with Matthews because, look, San Diego Chargers, they're just smitten with Ryan Matthews. If you heard North Turner speak at his press conference last week after the game, I mean, this guy just went on and on and on gushing about Ryan Matthews. I think they found something there. The kid is healthy. He's running hard. And he's being used in the red zone at the goal line as well. So I want to go with Ryan Matthews here.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. The Matthews-Tolbert scenario, I think if you fast forward in a year from now, you might be looking at the same thing with Montario Hardesty and Peyton Hillis. I mean, I think slowly Tolbert's touches are being taken away and Matthews is establishing himself as the real established guy there. And I see the same thing happening in Cleveland. I just don't see Peyton Hillis in a couple of years being that effective of a running back in the league. But that being said, I just love the matchup against the Rams D today for Tim Hightower. And I don't often love him, but today I love him, so I think I'm going to go with him. Rev, do you agree with me here? The question is Michael Vick or Cam Newton? I think it's Michael Vick today.
Yes. As a matter of fact, there are quite a few people that have that same dilemma. And I don't think it's much of a dilemma here. I just don't like Cam Newton against that cover two defense.
I really don't either. All right, we're going to hit the phone lines one more time. And I got to ask in the 609, back again?
Hey, guys, I apologize. I meant to ask you two things, one for me, one for daughter. Hey, in my standard league, with Fred Davis, I have Kellen Winslow too, with Davis in the lineup. Do I drop Kellen Winslow to pick up a guy like Ben Watson or no? Standard league.
I don't know that I'd start dropping Kellen Winslow to pick up Ben Watson.
Yeah, isn't there anybody else you can drop?
No, I got to keep two tight ends. I got Fred Davis and I got Winslow. I've been keeping Fred Davison, although he disappointed me last week, but hey, it is what it is. But after that, there's really nobody in here. You got the two Cleveland tight ends, Moore and Watson, and then you got, like, Scheffler. But, you know, so like I said, I like Winslow, but until his quarterback starts getting to him. But he is a primary target normally, but
I'd hang on to Winslow.
Okay. All right. I'll definitely do that. And I got Washington's defense in and out because I'm sitting the Steelers. Do you like that? Because Houston scares me. This leg standard, you get big bonus points like you were saying, from like double points for sacks, interceptions, fumble recoveries, you know, and different stuff like that.
I got to tell you, man, I have no problem starting the Redskins over the Steelers this week.
I agree with that.
Okay, because that's what my daughter wanted to know. All right, man. Hey, we got Junior's 2-1. I'm 3-0 in both mine. Daughter's 3-0 in her first year in the Yahoo League. So she told me to thank you guys. She just called me a couple minutes ago, and she goes, "I talked to the guys." I said, "Yeah, I talked to him at 8. I said, "Ash, you got to call me early." So I guess sorry for bothering you.
I appreciate
your voice.
Tell Junior to pick it up, man.
Yeah, I told him he's slacking, you know what I mean? So I won the league last year, he won it the year before. So I said, "June, at least your college team's 5-0, but your fantasy team's getting beat with injuries." Well, he's got Blunt. He's got he's got Benson. He's actually sitting Wells this week because you don't know what's going on in that game. Next, Dez Bryant, he's banged up. That guy's banged up. So hopefully he makes it to the playoffs. Maybe he'll see me in week 16 in the finals, and it'll be jersey against jersey, you know what I mean?
You got to love it. All right, man. Take it easy.
Thanks, guys. Take care. Yep.
Break
a leg. Yep. Have a good one, guys.
All right. We got another couple of phone calls. We're going to take one right now. 856, you're on the line. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
Very well. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. Got a couple questions for you this morning, man. I am in a PPR league, and I need to start two of the following. I got Steve Jackson, Arian Foster, Cedric Benson, and Santana Moss.
Mm. And you need two of those?
Yes.
Rev?
Okay, let's see. Steven Jackson, Arian Foster. Yeah, look, I got to go with my studs, man. I got to go with Arian Foster. I know he has a tough matchup against Pittsburgh, but you know something? If you watched that game last week, Joseph Addai looked pretty spry against those big, bad Steelers. So, yeah, I'll go with Arian Foster this week. And then, you know, as far as the other players are concerned, Benson has a decent matchup, but I kind of like Steven Jackson. I know, look, the Washington Redskins have a much improved defense, but I think with the Rams, their only chance of winning is with Steven Jackson having a big game. I think he's going to get a lot of carries. I think he's going to get some passes thrown his way. I think that Steven Jackson gets at least a touchdown, and he's going to get some decent yardage this week. I'll go with Steven Jackson, and I'll go with Arian Foster.
Right. Hmm. I think definitely – I would definitely roll with Foster. My concern about Steven Jackson is that, you know, he's a little banged up. Cadillac's a little banged up.
But he played last week. He played last week,
but
so
he toughed it out last week, but he didn't play a lot. He didn't get that many touches. I think Cedric Benson might double Steven Jackson's touches, and I certainly don't think he's going to double his statistics, but I think he's going to do just a little bit more than Jackson. But I think, you know, if you put Foster in there, Jackson or Benson, I think you're going to be okay either way. I just don't think either one of them is going to have a great day.
All right.
I wouldn't touch Moss. I mean, I think he's going to have a good week, but he's a receiver. You know, I think he's clever enough to find some openings there. But, you know, I see the Redskins getting it done on the ground today.
Okay. And also on my defensive side, I have Green Bay and I have the New York Giants.
Yeah, Green Bay.
Yeah, there isn't anyone I'd start over Green Bay this week.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. You guys have a good one. Enjoy your Sunday football.
All right, thank you.
All right, one more phone call, then we're going to get back to the games. 313, where you be? What's up? What do you got?
Gentlemen, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Really, really quickly, this is two different leagues. The first league is a point every three receptions, and I need to start two of these three, Anquan Boldin, Jordy Nelson, and Mike Thomas.
Wow. You know, look, Bolden has a tough matchup this week, obviously, and from what I'm hearing, Darrell Revis is going to be shadowing him. But I don't know if I could start either of the other two guys over Bolden, as I know at the very least Bolden's going to get at least about four receptions. I'm not that high on him, though. Look, Mike Thomas, I know he's going to get a lot of garbage points. And with Nelson, he's hit or miss. He can give you zero, he can give you 10 points, he can give you 15 points, but he's hit or miss, feast or famine.
You know, it's hard
to go against Bolden, but I just don't like him this week. I don't know. What about you, Ross?
Yeah, I've got to tell you, I'm avoiding Ravens wide receivers this week. So I think just because of who they're playing, and I think it's going to be the Ray Rice show this week, I really do. I would leave Bolden on the bench. Mm. I know it's a tough call because he's such a, you know, he's the all-around best receiver here. But I think Nelson's going to have an easy time finding room against Denver. And, look, I agree with what the Reds saying. I think Jacksonville's going to be getting killed. And I think Thomas is just going to get open for a lot of those, you know, little 8-9, we're playing a soft zone D late in the game because we're killing Jacksonville sort of points.
Yeah, this is a tough one. That's why I called you, gentlemen.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's counterintuitive, but I think I would definitely leave Bolden on the bench.
Okay. I've been leaning towards it. Been mulling it over for 48 hours. So,
hey, listen, there's nobody else on the waiver wire maybe that you could pick up that might be able to give you a good week?
This is a deep league. This is a deep league.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It's 12 teams with 16 roster spots, so there's nobody left.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah. I think, you know, in a deep league like that, I think you could do a lot worse than Nelson and Mike Thomas this week.
Exactly. And now in my second league, in another league really quickly, this is not a PPR league. It's 2 points per five receptions. So to keep that in mind, I need to start two of these guys – three of these guys in these two spots. I have, of course, we'll just take Wes Welker out of the mix because he's a must start. So we'll go with Deion Branch and Nate Washington for the final spot. And now keep in mind that Deion Branch and Wes Welker play together, of course.
Yeah, they play together, and you know, I think they're going to be in a pretty high-scoring game this week. But, you know, after coming off a zero last week, it's tough for me to recommend Deion Branch, and I guess Nate Washington's going to be the guy now. You know, I know the Browns play the pass pretty good. I don't like either of these guys, to be honest with you, but I think if you ask me to choose one, what you're doing, I'm going with Nate Washington this week, believe it or not.
Look, the way I look at it is, do you want the upside or do you want security? If you want safety, you go with Nate Washington just because you know he's going to get more targets and he's probably going to get probably more receptions. But with Branch, you got the upside because I know it's going to be a high-scoring game with New England and Oakland. I know that ball's going to be flying all over the field. And Tom Brady usually, on most weeks, has a lot of confidence in Deion Branch. He has a lot of trust in him, unlike, you know, Ocho Cinco, for instance. So if you're looking for upside, you go with Branch. But if you need points, not big points, you just need points, then you go with Nate Washington.
Yeah, I think that's a good assessment.
Yeah, that's a great idea, security versus upside. I messed up with a team that I believe I should beat, and so I think I should go with the security. I appreciate the help, gentlemen, as usual.
You got it, man. Good luck this week. And, look, you know, it's a tough choice when you have guys like that on your team that, you know, six of one, half dozen of the other, and I understand what you're saying about upside against security. But, man, you know, Deion Branch could go out and have – and he could be the one to put the hat trick of touchdowns up this week, or it could be Gronkowski and Welker. You know, that's why
right.
A lot of this luck, and all you can do is make the best prediction here. All right, back to the chat room. Let's see what we got here. We got a question. Tony Romo or Matthew Hasselbeck?
Wow. You have some good questions out there this morning. I'm not feeling Tony Romo this week. I know he's coming off of another heroic performance last week, but I don't like the protection he's getting. I don't like the pass protection he's getting, and we addressed that before. And he's playing with a lot of backups there. I mean, this week his starters could be Kevin Ogletree and Jesse Holly. Man, that is not very appetizing at all. Man, you know. I know Hasselbeck's got a tough matchup. I just might go with Hasselbeck this week. I know that he's down Kenny Britt. I don't know. I think I just might go with Hasselbeck, but it's very close.
Now, here's an interesting trade proposition, and we're given the correct information again. People are starting to catch on here. I love it. This is a non-PPR league, and the gentleman needs to know, the Mighty Riot needs to know, does he trade, I'm assuming, Carolina Steve Smith for Rob Gronkowski? And now keep in mind, he has Tampa Mike Williams and Wes Welker at receiver already.
Yeah, well, look, with Steve Smith, we all know what he's capable of. But I don't know what Cam Newton is capable of. He's one of those feast or famine quarterbacks. He's going to have great weeks. And he's going to have bad weeks. I know what Gronkowski is going to give me most weeks. I know that Gronkowski is he's just a matchup nightmare for a lot of safeties and a lot of linebackers out there. The guy's got huge hands. He's gigantic, and he's tough to cover. And Tom Brady loves throwing him the ball. I think I just might go for that trade if I'm getting Gronkowski in return.
Yeah. I mean, it depends who you have at tight end. You know, if you have Fred Davis at tight end, you might think otherwise. But I think Mike Williams will heat up a little bit as Josh Freeman, you know, picks it up, which
yeah.
I think he will. And,
sure.
You know, you're fine with Welker there. So, you know, would you rather have two of those three, or would you rather have Williams, Welker, and Gronkowski? You can't start all three receivers, so one of them is going to be going to waste. I might try to tweak that so you can wait till after a bye week. But I think I'd pull the trigger on that trade. I think Gronkowski is that valuable. All right, this one seems simple, but I'll run it through anyway. PPR needs three, Jahvid Best, Rashard Mendenhall, Mike Tolbert, Willis McGahee, Ryan Matthews, or Jordy Nelson. Look, I think right here you got to go running back. You throw Nelson out. I don't like Tolbert at all. I don't think he's going to be getting enough touches. I think now Knowshon Moreno's back, so I toss McGahee out as well. So I think, as you know, as the chat room people seem to think, I agree. It's Best, it's Mendenhall, and it's Ryan Matthews. Do you disagree or agree, Rev?
I do not disagree.
All right, very good. All right, let's get back to the games. Get these marquee matchups out of the way. Boy, it's the what could shape up to be the Andrew Luck Bowl Part One here, and Minnesota, them in their second half ineptitude, traveling to Kansas City to take on the likewise winless Chiefs. And I think the message has finally gotten through to Leslie Frazier and his coaching staff. They seem to be the last ones to know this, but they call Adrian Peterson all day for a reason, as he says. They don't call him half a day, as Rich Eisen said on his podcast. They call him all day. Give the man the ball. I think they will, and it's going to be profitable because Kansas City's given up the second most points to running backs. That situation's not going to get any better for them this week. I'm thinking at least a buck 30 and two touchdowns for Peterson this week, and I mean, I don't even think it's going to be close to anything less than that. You know, Minnesota has is 29th against the pass, and with the return of Mr. Starcap, you know, fourth against the run, as the Lions found out last week. Tough to run on this team, but not so tough to pass. So I think Dwayne Bowe is worth a start here. I just think, look, there's not a lot of other weapons on Kansas City. I don't even think they're going to try to run the ball with Thomas Jones or the diminutive Dexter McCluster. So I think it's going to be an uncomfortable passing situation for Kansas City, but I think Bowe will reap the benefit of that. Another guy who I never seem to like, but this week I do, Percy Harvin. You know, look, when you're going against Kansas City, it's tough not to like you. I think he's going to find room. Once Kansas City commits more men forward to the run, I think Harvin's going to find some space. You know, all comes down to, as a matter of Donovan McNabb, you know, being somewhat accurate with the ball to hit Harvin in the empty space, let him run around a little bit. But, you know, that's not really happening all that often, and that's why McNabb and his fellow signal caller in this game, Matt Castle, are the duds to me. Look, for me, I think McNabb's starting one of the last games he's going to start in his career. You know, 159 yards a game, fewer than 6 yards an attempt. You know, I don't understand what Minnesota was doing. If you're going to sign him, you know, great, but why are you drafting Christian Ponder? What are you, grooming him? Your team stinks. Put Ponder in there. Let him learn now. You're just wasting time as far as I'm concerned. And Castle, 5 picks, 142 yards a game, 5.2 yards per attempt. You know, I'm not going to go so far as to say cut him because everyone needs a backup and a couple of points are better than no points. But this team, man, I'm telling you, they fell off a cliff. Bad injuries, weak schedule last year with an overinflated sense of who they were. But, you know, I think at the end of the year they may have 2 wins if they're lucky, and I think they're going to be the ones who will likely land Andrew Luck. I think if you want a sleeper in this game, I think he could do worse than Dexter McCluster. Look, he's not going to run the ball effectively, but he is going to get 15, 16 touches. I mean, against the Minnesota defense as an option out of the backfield, you know, a quick hit out of the backfield, Minnesota has not covered those quick hits to running backs this year, and McCluster is going to get about 8 or 9 of those to make something happen as a receiver coming out of the backfield, and quite frankly, I think that's going to be enough against Minnesota's pass defense. I actually wanted to pick Kansas City in this game, but every time I started to write down a score, I was thinking, it's Adrian Peterson, man. He's so by far and away the best player on the field that I couldn't do it. So I'm going Minnesota 20, Kansas City 16. Rev, score?
Yeah, Minnesota's defense is too tough. I'm going to go with Minnesota 27, Kansas City 13.
Yeah, I think that's fair, you know. And we were speaking a lot about Cam Newton here. He's going to take his act to the Windy City today, Rev, against a Bears defense that's probably got a few tricks up their sleeves. I don't know what the deal is with the Bears' offensive line, but, you know, Gabe Kareemi, is he going to play? Could that situation get any worse for Cutler, who gets knocked around all the time? What do you see in Chicago?
Well, here's the thing about Cutler is I think that I like the Chicago running game this week, so I don't think Cutler's going to get banged around. As a matter of fact, I think Cutler could have a decent game, and he's going to be able to work off of play action a lot. But my stud is Matt Forte. Look, say this about Forte. He finds a way to get it done. Even though the rushing yards have been hard to come by over the past 2 weeks, the Bears' lead back is averaging 96 receiving yards per game early in the season. You know, putting up numbers on the ground shouldn't be an issue this week, however. The Panthers are young, and they're decimated along the front seven. So I think that Matt Forte goes off for big yardage. Greg Olsen is another guy that I like as a stud as well. I mean, how do you attack, you know, Greg Olsen from Carolina, I should say, no longer a Chicago Bear. How do you attack Chicago's cover two defense? Well, you have to exploit the seams. And, you know, Carolina has a two tight end offense where Shockey is more the traditional inline tight end and Olsen is the move around guy. Olsen is coming off a great performance where he caught four balls for 57 yards and a touchdown versus Jacksonville. You know, last week, Cam Newton and Steve Smith weren't able to get on the same page. You know, and if that happens again, hey, that plays in favor, that plays in Olsen's favor. Plus, another thing you have to take into account with Olsen is you have to consider the revenge factor. He's playing against his old team. You know he's going to be geeked up for this one. And so I like Greg Olsen as well as a stud in this game. The duds in this game, I'll put it to you this way. If your last name is Williams, you're a dud. I'm going to start off with D'Angelo Williams. He's averaging 35 yards from scrimmage. He's under 4 yards per carry. And Chicago has a strong front seven. You cannot start him until he shows you something. And obviously, Roy Williams is a dud every week. He's caught 4 passes all year. Had 0 receptions last week, and now he's blaming his poor play on an injury. Cry me a river, Roy. And the sleeper here is Johnny Knox. Carolina is playing without its best cornerback, Chris Gamble. And really, that team lacks quality depth at the position, at the cornerback position. Carolina has been giving up a number of big plays in the passing game this year, and Knox led his team in targets with 9 last week. He gained 84 yards. I think he has a chance here. I do like Chicago in this one. I'm going to go Bears 30, Carolina 21.
Wow, 21 for Carolina. I like the Bears, too. I had 31-16. I agree with you. I think this is the last week that we'll be able to call Johnny Knox a sleeper. You know, we've been yelling about it all season, how he's simply a better player and better, you know, personality than Roy Williams. The acquisition made no sense. Knox is better. All right, got a couple questions here. One of them involves Carolina Steve Smith. Jeremy Maclin or Steve Smith, who do you got?
Well, obviously, you have to pay attention to the reports. You got to make sure that Maclin is playing. I do like Maclin a little bit better this week. I like his quarterback a lot better. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah, I do too, but I'm gonna lean towards Steve Smith this week. I don't trust Macklin's health necessarily. I think Philly's going to be in a blowout. I don't think they're going to need to use him and risk him coming off, you know, the bulky injury situation that he has. I think they're going to take it extra easy on him. And, you know, Steve Smith will never come out of the game. They'll be down. They'll be passing. I think, you know, they'll be guarding against the deep ball with him as they're up by probably a couple of touchdowns early in that game. And I could see Smith getting some garbage points there, but it is close. One more, Lance Moore or Brandon Marshall?
Well, look, typically you would go with Brandon Marshall. He's the bigger athlete. He's the better athlete. But Lance Moore is in the better offense. And as I said before, I love that chemistry between Drew Brees and Lance Moore. He looks for him time and time again. And Lance Moore is one of the more shorthanded guys in the league. If I go the safe route, I'm going with Lance Moore. If I want the upside, I'm going with Marshall. This week, I do love New Orleans. I think they're a lock to win. I think they're going to put up at least 30 points versus Jacksonville. I'm going to go with Lance Moore.
Yeah, I am too, and I'll tell you this. If Marquise Colston was totally healthy, I'd be a little hesitant here, but I'm not buying into, oh, he's going to play. You know, he may be on the field for a few plays, but like Macklin, he's coming back. He's not healthy. You're going to be up three touchdowns, probably two of them to Lance Moore against that terrible Jacksonville secondary. Why would you risk running Colston out there in a game where you don't need him? So I think you subtract one of the options Breeze has. That makes Lance Moore more palatable to me, and I think I would go with him over Brandon Marshall, believe it or not. All right, we're going to keep going with the games here. Speaking of Lance Moore, New Orleans is going to roll into Jacksonville, roll over Jacksonville here, and look, you know, Breeze automatic, over 300 yards and two touchdowns. That's just what he does. The New Orleans running back situation is pretty interesting to me, and I think a couple of them are useful. You know, Darren Sproles has been a receiving threat. He's made the most of his touches, and I think he'll do so against Jacksonville as well. But I think there's room for two here. You know, Mark Ingram has twice the amount of red zone touches as the other two New Orleans running backs. And to me, that matters a great deal when you get inside there because they're there so often. So more opportunities for Ingram. I expect them to be pounding the rookie, who is sure to score at least once this week. And Maurice Jones-Drew, he's probably going to score as well. He looks healthy to me. Being given a ton of touches, there's really no one else there, you know, to get touches. So New Orleans will key on him, but so did Tennessee, the Jets, and Carolina, and Maurice Jones-Drew seemed to produce against them too. So can't be scared off by that factor. I'm not sure how the New Orleans receivers will fare, but Lance Moore, as we said, is the best one to produce. Jacksonville just isn't good defending those types of routes that Moore lives off of, and you know Drew Brees knows it. So he's going to hit his man, his old faithful, his reliable, his security blanket. Lance Moore is definitely going to find the end zone in this one, 70, 80 yards possibly. Safest bet to score out of all of those receivers. And I love Jimmy Graham today. Jacksonville fourth worst against fantasy football tight ends. You know, not that Graham needs it, because he can do it against anybody. Just that huge frame and athleticism, posting people up, giving you that energy that reminds one of a young Jeremy Shockey or even an older Mark Bavaro there. So I like him a lot this week. And as I said before, I don't like Marcus Colston this week. He's going to be limited. There's no reason to risk a rushed return against a team like Jacksonville. Don't be over-anxious if you're a Colston owner just because you see he's going to play. Don't automatically throw him in there because you've missed him so much. Keep him on the bench. You want a sleeper here? Look, Mercedes Lewis is back. He's healthy. There's going to be a lot of second-half passing for Jacksonville. Could do worse than the recovering Mercedes Lewis here. Jacksonville has to know they need Gabbert to do something, and I think the tight end is where he's going to go to. So I think you're all right starting Lewis as a low-end tight end this week. But, you know, you could have three Mercedes in the garage, and it's not going to help you against the Saints. New Orleans rolls 38-17 in this one. I know you agree with me on that, Rev.
Yeah, I'll take New Orleans 35-16.
Yeah, it sounds fair, sounds fair. Now, get one more game out, and we'll hit the chat room here. 49ers, the first-place 49ers, travel to Philadelphia to take on the last-place Eagles. Man, I love saying that. Braylon Edwards, Frank Gore, Michael Vick, Jeremy Maclin, who knows what's going on? The good Reverend does. Testify.
Hey, listen, you start DeSean Jackson and ask no questions. He's a stud this week. Look, I know that Jackson's off to a slow start, but I think that the absence of San Francisco safety, strong safety, Dante Whitner, means that a mistake-prone Medea Williams will be in the starting lineup, and that's never a good thing. But the matchup I really like here is Jackson versus Carlos Rogers at cornerback, and we all remember what happened during that Monday night fiasco where Philly just crushed the Redskins. We all remember that Mr. Rogers did play for the Redskins last year. Look, the Eagles' offense isn't firing on all cylinders, but San Francisco is allowing the sixth most fantasy points to wide receivers, so expect the Birds to take their shots. Maclin isn't playing at full strength if he does play at all, and I think that DeSean Jackson is going to have some opportunities here. I also like Philadelphia's defense, and they haven't been playing that well, but Andy Reid is reshuffling the deck here. He's reshuffling some of his guys. He's putting Brian Rowe in place of Casey Matthews at middle linebacker. Nate Allen is taking over for Kurt Coleman, who was horrible last week. But what's important here is the likes of Trent Cole and Cullen Jenkins versus an underperforming 49ers offensive line, which has given up 11 sacks over the past 2 weeks. So I think going with Philadelphia's defense is the smart choice this week. The dud here, and he's been a dud all season long, and that's Frank Gore. Look, he's had a horrible September with only 159 yards rushing, averaging about 2.5 yards per carry, behind an offensive line which isn't getting any push. And things don't get any better today, excuse me, as Gore's battling an ankle injury. And if he's healthy, and if he's playing, his playing time will be curtailed with Kendall Hunter getting some reps. And Kendall Hunter is my sleeper, by the way. Look, whereas Gore is more of a power runner, Hunter is more of a creative back who can find yards without great blocking. He adds a little bit more speed to the equation. So if you're in a deep league, you're desperate for some points, I think Kendall Hunter is a guy that should do some things this week. I do like Philly in this one. I'll go Eagles 28, San Francisco 16.
Yeah, I agree with you about the Victor in the game. I think this is the week the Eagles go nuts. I think Vic goes off. I think the Niners are a paper tiger here. I have the Eagles getting over 35. I have it 38-20. Alex Smith playing in Philadelphia just doesn't sound appetizing to me. I think the defense, as you said, of Philadelphia will probably have a score in this game. I just sense this is the get-well game for the Eagles. Look, week four, you know the score. Fantasy Football Insiders on the Fantasy Sports Channel, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Ross Dardamus, Ross Mandel. I've been chatting with the good Reverend Ralph Mancini. You know how we do it, 8 to 10 a.m. every Sunday morning. You know the drill. Got some chat room questions here. Need one, Rev. Mike Tolbert, Willis McGahee, or Brandon Lloyd?
Yeah, you know, I think I might play, well, look, you know what? The Green Bay Packers have been giving up a lot of yards in the passing game. So Brandon Lloyd could have a decent game, even if Denver doesn't put up a lot of points. I don't think they should. Tolbert could always give you a cheap touchdown. He's pretty good out in the backfield. I wouldn't even consider McGahee, so forget about him. It comes down to either Tolbert or Brandon Lloyd. Man, it's tough, but I think that I usually go with the running back. I'll go with Tolbert. Look, I know he's playing second fiddle to Matthews, but it should be an easy matchup for San Diego. They should score some points. I think Tolbert can get one of those cheap one-yard touchdowns, and I think he'll get some catches as well. I'll go with Tolbert. He's the safer choice here.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, Matthews had a little bit of a nagging injury this week, so I think Tolbert, you know, one more week back on the main shelf before he gets put back, I think. All right, quick hit defensive question here. Today, do you start the Ravens defense or the Lions defense against the banged-up
Cowboys? Do we get this question,
Cowboys,
like, every week or something? I mean, I know we talked about this last week. Yeah, look, they both have great matchups. I think the advantage that the Baltimore Ravens give you is that they're playing at home, whereas Detroit's going on the road. So there's always a chance that, you know, Dallas could come up with a big play here or there. Felix Jones maybe could take it 50 yards to the house. Whereas I think that Baltimore Ravens game is going to be very close. The New York Jets, obviously, I don't think they're going to put up a lot of points. Antonio Holmes is banged up. Sean Green's not playing that well. And it looks like Nick Mangold is going to sit another week out. So I think I'll go with the Ravens. I think they're the safer choice. But I do love the Lions as well. I'll go with the Ravens by a nose.
Yeah, to me, I like the Ravens a little more than you do this week. I think that the Jets haven't been able to run the ball. That's trouble to me when you're going into Baltimore and you're going to rely on Mark Sanchez. I don't think that's the way the Jets want to play. I think, as you said, Mangold being out, I think Sanchez throwing the ball more than they want. I think Ed Reed's probably loving that. I like the Ravens defense more. In a non-PPR league, Rev, I think we answered this one too. Rashard Mendenhall or Tim Hightower? I think we decided on Hightower, did we not?
Yes.
Okay, now, two questions here. What do you think of Stephen Ridley as far as today goes? And what do you think of the Tampa defense today? I'll take the Tampa defense question and answer it quickly. I love the Tampa defense today. I think they're going to have a very Monday night. I think they're going to have a fantastic game. Who wouldn't want to start against Curtis Painter? I mean, the guy probably be a better painter than he would a quarterback. I don't think he's going to shut him out, but I think there's lots of points to be had there. And, you have to look at matchups. They're playing a weak Indianapolis offense at home on Monday night. They're going to be geeked up for it. And I see Tampa's as just outside the top five in defense this week. You got to look at who they're playing. But why don't you tackle the Ridley situation and tell me if you agree. I don't think I start him yet, but I think in the second half of the season, he's the back to own there.
Yeah, look, the thing to look at with Stephen Ridley is that you compare him to Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. He's bigger than Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. He's about 10 pounds heavier. He's faster than Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. And he's a better pass catcher than Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. I think if Ridley stays healthy, I think he is going to be the main man eventually in that New England Patriots offense. The kid has got a lot of juice to him. He's got some good burst. He's got a ton of potential. And the other thing to look at with Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is he becomes a free agent after this year. So the future is with Stephen Ridley. So I think that maybe starting this week, I can't tell you that for sure, so I wouldn't start him this week. But I think sooner rather than later, I think Stephen Ridley will be the man in New England.
Yeah, I'm just happy I stashed him on my roster. One more question. Non-PPR league, got to have one. Dez Bryant, David Nelson, Mike Thomas.
Yeah, go with Nelson all day here.
I agree. The other two, too sketchy. Bryant because of the injury and Thomas because of the matchup. Although I would take Thomas over Bryant if you're splitting hairs there. All right, Rev, I'm going to hit a couple of these 1 o'clocks. You can finish it up with the Cowboys. We'll get rid of those. We'll hit some chat room questions. Next game is the Redskins at the Rams. I like 4 Redskins here. Not sure when I last said that, but, Rex Grossman should excel against that sieve-like defense that the Rams have going on. I think he's a pretty decent start here as far as lower end of Tier 1 today. I love Tim Hightower today. He's going to be used effectively out of the backfield. He's going to be used effectively running the ball. I like him a lot as well today. The Rams cannot stop the run. They really can't stop the pass either. But, the run is especially something I think Mike Shanahan's going to want to focus on. I think he's going to want to take a little bit of the air out of the ball, be a little more conservative. And we had Jersey on the phone earlier talk about how Fred Davis let him down last week. That's because the Cowboys double-teamed him all the time, left, the plotting Chris Cooley open. I don't expect that to happen every week. I don't think Davis owners should freak out. In fact, I think he has a bounce back game this week against the Rams and going forward. I like Fred Davis a lot more. St. Louis allows almost 16 yards a catch, last week by opposing receivers. So I think you have to dig Santana Moss in this game. We touched on it earlier. I think he's crafty enough to find the holes in that very porous Rams secondary. I think he's going to torch them. They've given up 7 passing touchdowns this year. I think you can make it at least 8 or 9 today, and I think Moss has one of them. For the Rams, Steven Jackson's back, had another week of pretty much rest. He did play a little bit last week, but props to him for being so tough. I think he'll be the featured back against a pretty mediocre Washington run defense, but I don't think you should expect massive numbers. His quads still bother him a little. Cadillac's going to get a couple of touches. I see Steven Jackson as a low-end number 2 or even a flex start this week, but I think it is safe to have him in your lineup. I think the dud here, or the duds, I should say, are the Rams wide receivers. I keep waiting for one of them to emerge, and it just doesn't happen. Brandon Gibson, Mike Sims-Walker, the rest of them. Come on, let's see him do something. Denario Alexander, touchdown, fine, but invisible all the other times. I just can't get into that Rams passing game. All these guys to me are 40 to 50 yard, 4 catch guys. There are better players out there with higher upside like Devon Bess, Johnny Knox, Nate Burleson. I'd rather have any of them than anyone on the Rams at this point. To me, the sleeper in this game, it's going to be the Redskins' defense. They've played well. They're fifth in points allowed. They forced six fumbles. The ball's going to be out a lot on that carpet today, I think. With the way St. Louis has played offensively, I have no problem, as we said, starting the Redskins over a lot of more popular units like the Steelers. I would definitely go with them. I have the Redskins winning this game 21-13. Rev?
I like the Redskins here, but I think it's going to be a tough game. I think the Rams are going to be very motivated. Obviously, I mean, they look like crap these past few weeks, but I do like the Redskins by a field goal here. I'll go Washington 23, St. Louis 20.
All right, another close game, but one that should be a little more important at the end of the season, is the Steelers traveling to Houston to take on the Texans, who have to be kicking themselves after blowing that game in New Orleans last week. And, you know, for the Steelers, more of the same here. Doug Ligurski, Jonathan Scott, offensive lineman, out. It's not as if, you know, Rashard Mendenhall's been running for 6 yards a carry and Roethlisberger's had a clean jersey every game. This certainly isn't going to help. Look, with that shakier offensive line, I hesitate to recommend Mendenhall today, but a guy that I love to recommend each and every week is the 60-minute man, Mike Wallace. You always start him. He's always a top five. He's always over 100 yards. This week he's going against a defense that's been pretty generous to opposing wide receivers. You also obviously start Andre Johnson, who I think is going to make a world of a hell of a living today in the middle of the field. I wouldn't hesitate to start Arian Foster either today. You know, this is not the scary Pittsburgh defense that we've become accustomed to. I think Foster's health, more than the Steelers' defense, is the only thing that's going to hold them back in this one. I got to tell you, I have Matt Schaub and Ben Roethlisberger both outside starter status this week. Neither of them is a top 10 guy this week. If you have them, you can start them, but you're not going to get a lot of numbers out of them. The dud in this game, and I'll say it, the Pittsburgh defense. They've been pretty average overall this year, and the matchups, you know, in this game favor the Texans, to me. You know, Washington or the Giants are better defensive plays than the Steelers, who I have outside the top 10. And the other dud, you know, look, I like the guy, and it pains me to say it, and that's Hines Ward. The guy's pretty much done from what I've seen. He plays, but he doesn't catch any passes. He's not producing any points. I wouldn't go so far as to hesitate to cut the guy. You know, Antonio Brown, Emmanuel Sanders, younger, fresher legs, getting more of the looks when Roethlisberger does have time. I can't recommend Hines Ward at all at this point. The sleeper, to me, I flipped the coin between Sanders and Brown, and then I looked at the stats over the last couple of weeks, and I'm going to say to go with Antonio Brown over the two of them. He had four grabs for 75 yards last week against Indy. And the key to me, and this is why Roethlisberger is going to look his way, is each of those catches was for more than 17 yards. I like that. I know Mike Wallace does the same sort of thing there. So that's what Pittsburgh's looking at. He's my second-choice receiver there with Ward on the decline. Sanders still a little dinged up. He's getting looks too, but I'll roll with Antonio Brown this week. But it's not going to be enough. I think the Texans are going to win this game, Rev, 28-24 in a pretty good game, but I think the Texans get back on the horse.
Yeah, it's going to be a tight game. I think both teams are going to score points in this game. I do like Pittsburgh, though. I do like the clutch factor with Ben Roethlisberger. I think that he's going to lead them to like a game-winning type of drive. This guy's done it before. He's very clutch. He's the guy that you want with the ball in his hands when you need some points down in the fourth quarter. I'm going to go with Pittsburgh here, 30-28.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. I just think the offensive line is going to be too much of a problem here. And speaking of banged-up people, what's going on with Dallas with Mr. Romo and Mr. Bryant? How do you see that shaking out there when the Lions come
through? Well, I'll tell you what. When we talk about the Detroit Lions, we spend so much time talking about the Lions' offense. Let's take a moment to focus on the defense, though. I love Detroit's defense, and they're my stud this week. They have one of the most disruptive defensive lines in the NFL. This week, they will take their shots at Tony Romo's ribs. Romo's left tackle, Doug Free, has been a turnstile on the blind side, and center Phil Costa, who will be making his fifth career start. He's having problems snapping the ball, and he's a little banged up, by the way. So I look for the Lions to generate a lot of pressure, create some turnovers, and they're one of my top defenses this week. The other stud here is Brandon Pettigrew. Stafford will look for him again since the Lions' running game has a tough matchup versus Dallas. The dud here is the aforementioned Tony Romo. Last week was one of the few times that Romo was actually a better real-life quarterback than fantasy player. Although he willed his team to victory in obvious pain, his numbers weren't up to par. He had 255 passing yards, zero touchdowns, and one interception. Don't anticipate things to get much better with Dez Bryant playing at half speed if he plays at all and Miles Austin out of the equation. The sleeper here, I'll give you a deep sleeper. Maybe he's not so much of a deep sleeper at this point. That's Titus Young. The Boise State product has come on like gangbusters in his last two games with nine catches for 140 yards on 15 targets. He's not an every-week starter, but he's a very intriguing guy. He's got big play potential. I think he should be a good fill-in type of guy for people dealing with injuries or bye weeks in the future. So, hey, he's part of a great offense. Matt Stafford is just lighting it up. So I think he's a very intriguing sleeper. I do like Detroit in this game. Although Lions 31, Dallas 22, as Dallas comes off the short week and they're very banged up, I don't see them winning this game.
I see it being close, but I think the Lions will pull it out here. I like the Dallas ground defense. I think they're going to ground the Lions. And I think DeMarcus Ware, you know, Matt Stafford hasn't been hit a lot this year. I think he's going to get hit today, but I think he'll get up. I think the Lions will win this game 24-16, 24-17. All right, Rev, couple chat room questions before we get to the 4 o'clock. Guy has Willis McGahee. He's itching to get rid of him for some reason and pick up maybe one of the following: your boy Plaxico, Eric Decker, David Nelson, or Torrey Smith. Is either of those four a viable waiver wire replacement for Willis McGahee?
Well, first I have to say, I want to see his entire roster. Why does he have to drop Willis McGahee? There's nobody else that he could do away with. I mean, with Willis McGahee, I understand why he wants to get rid of him, but he does have some value right now. So why doesn't he try trading him? Because I know that in one league, I did actually trade Willis McGahee, and I got something in return for him. Look, if he wants to pick up one of those four guys that you mentioned, I do like David Nelson going forward, because I think that this is a guy who can be started on most weeks. He's a big part of that offense. He plays that slot position. He's 6'5". He's a big target, and he plays in the type of offense that I think is going to put up yards each and every week with Ryan Fitzpatrick at the helm.
What do you think about Torrey Smith going forward, the burner? What do you think? I mean, last week, obviously, he's not going to replicate that, but is he a usable option when Lee Evans comes back?
I think in deeper leagues, he's a usable option. He's not an every-week starter. I would maybe put him, like, in the category of a Titus Young.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I mean, look, the Baltimore Ravens are not going to be scoring 35 points every week. You know, I think that, you know, what they did versus the Rams, they had a great matchup there with Justin King covering Torrey Smith. And, you know, Justin King is just a joke at cornerback. And so when you have that type of matchup, yeah, you try to exploit it. But I don't think that's going to happen each and every week. You know, Joe Flacco is a guy that is a feast or famine quarterback. He can throw for four touchdowns or he can give you 120 yards and no touchdowns. So, you know, Torrey Smith is a guy that you keep at the end of your bench and you use him every once in a while.
I agree. And for the sake of your furniture, I hope the Ravens don't score 35 this week. All right. Three running backs, three young running backs. Which one would you take going forward? And explain it to me. Steven Ridley, Kendall Hunter, or Roy Helu?
Well, I'll go with Steven Ridley. I think you know what I think about him. He's a big back. He's got some speed. He can catch the ball. And when you compare him to those other running backs, by the way, are all talented in their own right. But I like Steven Ridley the most also because I love the offense he plays in. And that offense is going to put up a lot of points, more weeks than not. And so you go with the upside, you go with the potential, and I'm going with Steven Ridley.
exactly the same reason that I would take, like you would, David Nelson in the receiver waiver wire question, is the same reason I would take Ridley. When in doubt, go with the team with the better offense who's going to score more points and have more opportunities for your guy. All right, another, here's a tough one. Needs one, Ryan Matthews, Tim Hightower, or James Starks?
Oh, boy. Yeah, this is a tough one. You know, I love Hightower, and I like Matthews too, but he does have that a little bit of a toe injury. Man, you know, I like Starks a lot. The only thing that worries me about Starks is you got that guy John Kuhn who takes a lot, takes over a lot of those goal line carries. Ryan Grant is out this week. Hey, you know what? I'll throw caution to the wind. I just might go with Starks this week. I really love him versus Denver. I think that, you know, the Green Bay Packers are just going to crush them. I think this is another one of those locks of the week. I think, you know, New Orleans and Green Bay are both going to trample the opposition. And at the very least, with Starks, you know he's going to get a lot of garbage time carries as well as Green Bay tries to run out the clock. I'll go with Starks this week.
Yeah, I do too. I like him a lot, and I would pick him barely over Hightower this week. But, you know, when a guy gets the opportunity to be the guy and he's averaging like 6 yards a carry and his team's going to blow out the other team and probably, you know, run the ball a little bit in the second half, I don't have a problem recommending James Starks this week. I think he's a good play. We'll get to that Green Bay game in full in just a minute. But first, Matty Ice and the Falcons, in a battle of the birds here, going west to face the Seattle Seahawks. And I didn't know what to make of this game. You know, Michael Turner was shut down last week, 11 carries for 20 yards. I don't expect that poor a showing. But, you know, actually Seattle's defense has been pretty good. And, you know, I'm not sure whether the fullback is going to play there for Atlanta or not, but I know he's not going to be 100%. Bugelli, so I think that's going to hurt Turner. So I think Turner's just an average play today. I don't love him at all. Guys, if you have Roddy White, he's questionable, but don't let that fool you. The guy's questionable every week, but he always plays. I think, you know, look, as Julio Jones emerges to take the pressure off him, his numbers are only going to be as solid as they always are. He always seems to produce something. I think he's a great play today. I am a little ambivalent about Marshawn Lynch, just because, well, he's Marshawn Lynch. But he is going against the 25th-ranked rush defense as far as fantasy football is concerned. And you know that Seattle's going to want to run the ball today. So I'm going to recommend Marshawn Lynch today for a flex play. I think he's going to get about 65, 70 yards and a touchdown today against Atlanta. Better defense maybe than last year Atlanta, but still not invincible against the run. And I'm going to just come out and say it. The dud this week is Matt Ryan. I don't like what I've seen from him. Even last week when he had over 300 yards, he still turned the ball over three times. And the Atlanta offense has just looked sketchy to me all year. I don't think they know who they are at this point. Ryan's been extremely mediocre on the road, and that's putting it nicely. I cannot recommend him today. I think there's at least 12 better plays than him. But the sleeper, one I will recommend, is the Atlanta defense. Look, you know, they haven't been that impressive, but they're, look at who they're going against here. Tavares Jackson, the guy's a turnover machine. 171 yards, no touchdowns, and a pick last week. 5.5 yards per attempt. You know, that's what he did last week against a pretty bad Arizona defense. So this week, Atlanta's defense markedly better than that. I know he's home, but the fans have been calling for Charlie Whitehurst. I almost said Wally Whitehurst. He's been calling for Charlie Whitehurst with chance of Charlie. And, you know, for a guy like Tavares Jackson, that's not going to help his confidence. I think there's a lot of turnovers here for Atlanta. I think Atlanta wins this game, but I think it's going to be a little closer than people think. I have it Atlanta 23, Seattle 20. Rev, score.
Not a similar score. I'll go with Falcons 24, Seahawks 14.
All right, now, those of you with Green Bay players, get ready because the Rev is about to studify your entire roster, I believe. Take it, Green Bay hosting Denver.
Hey, look, I think you'd want to start most of your Green Bay Packers this week, but the guy I like is a guy we just spoke about 5 minutes ago. and that's James Starks, and he's my stud. The second-year pro, he won't be splitting carries with anyone this week, as Ryan Grant will be in street clothes nursing a bruised kidney. Starks will be extremely motivated to prove that he's a top back on the team after a disappointing outing versus Chicago. The bruising runner could be a factor in the passing game as well, since Denver is surrendering 5 receptions per game to running backs. At the very least, as I mentioned before, Green Bay should be up big in the second half, and they're going to use Starks to run out the clock. The dud here is no Sean Moreno. He's returning from a hamstring ailment. He goes up versus a Green Bay run defense that's holding the opposition to 55 yards per game on the ground. And as things stand, Willis McGahee is the lead back. John Elway, John Fox, they don't have any ties to Moreno, despite the fact that he was a first-round pick a couple of years ago. They'll go with whoever is playing better right now, and that guy is McGahee. Moreno, he could see some swing passes go his way, but this is just an awful matchup. I would stay away from Moreno, and I probably would stay away from McGahee as well. The sleeper here is Eric Decker. Green Bay's secondary is banged up with Nick Collins out for the year. Woodson and Tremont Williams are both nursing injuries. I think Decker has a chance versus a Green Bay defense that ranks 31st overall in passing yards allowed. I kind of like Kyle Orton as a sleeper also here. Denver will be trailing in this game, and Orton is averaging 37 pass attempts per week. He's not a great start. He's probably going to throw some interceptions, and he hasn't been playing all that well. But in a deep league, if you're in a pinch here, I think Kyle Orton can put up some yards this week. But I do like Green Bay. I like them big. I'll go Packers 38, Denver 17.
Got no problem with that score line at all. I think the Packers have a relatively easy time of it. I also think the next game is going to be a bit one-sided, and that's Miami traveling to San Diego, where, you know, a couple of banged-up Chargers, Malcolm Floyd still with a groin issue, and Vincent Jackson with an abdominal issue, although they're both going to play. I think Jackson's probably a little closer to 100%. Ryan Matthews a little banged up. And I'll tell you, Antonio Gates probably not going to play till after that Week 7 bye. Bummer for his owners, but at least they're letting him get better with that foot issue as opposed to last year when he played and sort of didn't produce, so I think that's a good idea. I think you got to love Phillip Rivers here against the third-worst fantasy football defense for quarterbacks here. I think he's an every-week start, obviously. Vincent Jackson, again, Miami does not cover wide receivers fantasy football-wise, reality-wise, or anything-wise. They're terrible against the pass. Ryan Matthews, 20 carries last week, and boy, did he do us owners proud. 2 scores. Tolbert's touches are diminishing. Matthews is a strong number 2 running back this week, playing without reservation. For Miami, you know, look, Daniel Thomas not going to play. They signed Steve Slayton. Look, Lex Hilliard and Reggie Bush are pretty much your options there. I don't think either one of them is a solid running option. I wouldn't play either one of them. The only guy in Miami who I'd play, Brandon Marshall, you know, because of the weak quarterback play, I think he's basically a number 2 wide receiver. And I want to say until Chad Henne gets it together, but we all know, except for maybe Taz, and I don't know where Taz has been, but his boy Chad Henne, not too impressive so far. You know, if you want a sleeper in this game, I don't know what to tell you. The San Diego defense has been pretty sketchy, but I think this week against Chad Henne and the Dolphins, who don't have that big back who they can use this week, I'm not buying into Lex Hilliard. Rev, I'll let you talk about him in a minute, but I like the San Diego defense. I like everything about him this week. I have San Diego winning this game 31-17. Rev, score and talk to me about your boy Lex Hilliard.
Yeah, in this game, I do like the Chargers. I'll go San Diego 33, Miami 10. And as far as Lex Hilliard goes, look, yeah, as you mentioned, they are banged up. There's no Daniel Thomas this week. And, you know, as far as Reggie Bush goes, I think Miami soon realized that he is nowhere near a feature back. And they're pretty much in a tough spot right now. They did sign Steve Slayton. But Steve Slayton is more of a scat back, in my opinion. And so I think Lex Hilliard, he is limited as a runner, but he is a guy that brings a little size to the table, a little toughness to the table. I think as an inside runner, he's going to get some play this week. Probably won't gain a lot of yards, but, you know, if you're really desperate and you're in one of those deep leagues where there's nothing available, I think you could pick up Lex Hilliard this week and he might be able to give you a little something.
I don't disagree. All right, let's get to the last 2 4 o'clocks. The Raiders, fresh off a win against a certain team last week, will welcome another AFC East powerhouse in the New England Patriots into the black hole, Rev.
Yes, a great, great matchup here. Look, I like Denarius Moore as a stud. Moore has proven himself to be a sensational talent. He will continue playing a major role in Auckland's offense, even when guys like Lewis Murphy and Jacoby Ford return to action. Jacoby Ford should be back this week. In fact, Hugh Jackson, the coach out there in Oakland, he already said that he wants Denarius Moore to end up with about 80 receptions this year. He's that good. And, you know, this week's matchup versus New England shapes up as a great opportunity for Moore to pad his numbers as Bill Belichick's crew leads the league in allowing the highest amount of passing plays of 20 yards or more with 23 this year. The dud here is that New England defense. Look at the injuries in the secondary alone. Lee Bodden is out with a groin injury. Rozic Dowling is missing with a hip ailment. Kyle Arrington is questionable with a chest bruise. And over on the defensive line, Albert Haynesworth is out. The sleeper is, well, I got a couple of sleepers here. We already spoke about Stephen Ridley. He outperformed in Jarvis Green-Ellis last week with only 6 carries against 42 yards. So I think going forward, Stephen Ridley is the more appealing guy. I also like Jason Campbell this week as a sleeper. Expect the Patriots to key in on Darren McFadden and force Oakland to beat them via the pass. Either way, I think Campbell will have to air it out, even if D-Mac goes off, given the fact that the Pats are going to put up points here. New England is tops in giving up yards to opposing quarterbacks, including pedestrian signal callers such as Chad Henne. I do like New England here. I think it's going to be somewhat of a shootout. I'll go Patriots 38, Oakland 34.
Yeah, I like the margin of victory. I think it's going to be a little lower scoring. I had New England 31-24. But I agree with you. I think the Pats bounce back. But I think, again, their defense, not exactly stellar, is going to cost them later. Last 4 o'clock game, the Giants, who shocked me last week by handling the Eagles, stopping them on short yardage thanks to Andy Reid's genius play calling, travel to Arizona. Justin Tuck probably not going to play. OC Umeniora, well, from what I hear, likely to play at least a little bit. That'll probably help. Eli Manning isn't going to throw for 4 touchdowns again, but he's certainly worth a start here against a pretty weak pass defense in Arizona. You know, an Eli-esque day of like 230 yards and 2 touchdowns. But keep in mind, it's been a very long time since Eli's gone 2 games without throwing a pick, and he didn't throw one last week. I said last week that Ahmad Bradshaw would need a great game if New York had any shot, and he played pretty well. You know, 15, 17 carries and enough receptions to get some mileage out of it is what he does to produce, and he'll do that this week. I think he might have his first 100-yard game on the ground of the season this week. The wide receivers for New York appear to be at least maybe not as healthier, Manningham and Nix. I think Nix against that Cardinals pass defense is good for 70 yards and a touchdown. Look, the Giants aren't very good against the pass either, so I think you can expect a pretty large-sized day from Larry Fitzgerald, who scored in 2 straight. I feel pretty comfortable in saying you can make it 3 straight after today. The dud today to me is Beanie Wells. Yeah, he's going to suit up and give it a go, but, you know, Arizona seems to be the only one surprised that Wells can't stay healthy. The guy hasn't been healthy since he was 12 years old. He plays well when he plays, but he's so unreliable, I don't think he's worth a start at all. The sleeper here is Mario Manningham. I see some people in the chat room wondering if they should pick him up. Yes, you should pick him up if he's on waivers. You know, the guy practiced Friday in full. You know, he has the speed to get behind these Arizona corners for a deep ball. Maybe, you know, he might be a forgotten man. Everybody thinking, oh, Victor Cruz, you know, he caught 2 touchdowns and Manningham's always hurt. He's not always hurt. He's not hurt now. He's a very fine receiver, and Eli Manning feels comfortable throwing the ball to him, even though he's just the number 2 choice. I like the Giants in this game. 28-23 over the Cardinals, but I don't feel that confident. I wouldn't be shocked if they lost.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a close game. I don't think there are going to be a lot of points scored in this one. I could see the Giants winning 21-20, that type of game.
I hear you. All right. Rev, you know you're up now. As your Jets Sunday night travel to Baltimore. Boy, I'm pumped up for this game. Take it.
Well, not a lot of studs here fantasy-wise. Obviously start Ray Rice, but the other guy that I like here is Dustin Keller. He's been New York's most consistent pass catcher with Santonio playing with Drew Payne. Keller's had 23 targets on the season along with 242 yards and two touchdowns. Sanchez will have to throw short, quick passes to beat Baltimore's blitz. Keller will match up with safeties and linebackers in those shallow zones with his quarterback trying to get rid of the ball early under duress. The dud here, and this is a guy that we talked about earlier, and that's Anquan Boldin. You know, while he did get 14 targets last week, this week he'll most likely be shadowed by the best cornerback in the league, bar none, and that's Darrell Revis. Boldin, he is still a fine player, but he no longer has that extra burst of speed that he once did. He'll need to have that this week. Expect pedestrian numbers. I think he gets maybe about 3 or 4 catches for maybe about 35 to 40 yards, nothing more than that. I think Sean Green is a dud also. He may be okay as a flex, but, I mean, he's definitely not a number one or number two back this week. If Mangold is out, I would bench him altogether. He's going up against some big woolly mammoths out there like Haloti Ngata and Terrence Cody and a quality linebacker core. The sleeper here, I think those Baltimore tight ends should be getting a lot of passes going their way, both Ed Dixon and Dennis Pitta. Although I think Dixon has the bigger upside. He is a more vertical weapon. I think that if they have him matched up versus safeties and linebackers, I think that he will catch some balls today. And let's face it, that's the way you attack the Jets. You attack them across the middle because their safeties and linebackers are not very good in coverage. As for a final score, I think it's going to be nip and tuck. I think it's going to be very tight. I think probably it's going to be like a turnover that decides this game. But I'll go with Baltimore 23, Jets 21.
Yeah, I have the Ravens winning as well, but I think it's going to be by a little more. I don't like the lack of a Jet running game. I think that makes Mark Sanchez have to do too much. I think that's exactly what the Ravens want. I have Baltimore 24, Jets 13. Before we get to the last game, I am going to take to the phone line here. 678 has been very patient. 678, it's your time. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys, I appreciate it. I don't mind listening to you guys. You guys do pretty good with your analysis. I like it. Just a quick question. Third receiver, I got Marshall and B-Jack starting, and right now I got Percy in there, but between Meacham, him, and Knox. And I don't know. I think Percy's a safer, more upside.
I agree. I do like Percy Harvin over Meacham and Knox. I think all three are pretty viable this week, but Percy Harvin is the number one receiver in Minnesota. I know it's not saying much when Donovan McNabb is your starting quarterback, but look, as Ross mentioned before, I think Adrian Peterson goes wild this week versus that joke of a defense in Kansas City. And Percy Harvin is going to be open across the middle. Donovan McNabb is going to hook up with him in a lot of those little 10-yard crossing routes. And so especially if you're in a PPR league, I think Percy Harvin is the way to go.
I completely agree with you, Rev. 678, thank you for your call. Rev, some chat room questions before we get to the Monday night game. Which defense do you start today, Minnesota or San Diego?
Oh, well, I think I'll go with San Diego for one reason. I think San Diego is going to put up more points. Therefore, they're going to force Miami to take more chances, put the ball up in the air. I think there's more potential for turnovers with the San Diego Chargers.
I don't disagree. Quarterback question here. A lot of Matty Ice questions, a lot of Cam Newton questions, and now we got one with both of them. Cam Newton or Matt Ryan?
I think I'm going to go with Matt Ryan. I know that you don't like Matt Ryan this week.
He hasn't really
played well all year. But I don't know. I like Matt Ryan's weapons a little bit more. I think Atlanta really needs the game. And with Cam Newton, you're asking a rookie to go into Chicago and try to dissect a very tough defense in Chicago. I think it's going to be a tall order for Cam Newton. I feel more comfortable with Matt Ryan.
Yeah, I'm not buying that Bears defense. I don't think Newton's going to go off for 400 yards, but I'll tell you what he is going to do. He's going to run one in, and that's a bonus for fantasy football owners. I'd go with Cam Newton. All right, non-PPR league, return yards count. David Nelson or Dexter McCluster? I'm going with McCluster if the return yards count.
I guess I don't play you in any leagues with return yards. If that's your line of thinking, you know, I also do think that McCluster is going to catch a lot of passes this week because if Matt Castle is going to complete any passes, it's going to be those little short little dinks and dunks to Dexter McCluster. So I can see your line of thinking.
All right, needs two. Carolina Steve Smith, Dwayne Bowe, Santana Moss, Tampa Mike Williams. I'm going Steve Smith and Santana Moss. I just like the matchups.
You know, I think one of these weeks, Mike Williams is going to break out. Moss or Steve Smith.
Well, this is as good a week as any to predict that.
Yeah. I think Tampa Bay puts up a lot of points, obviously, this week. They could go over 30, I think. I'll go with Mike Williams, and I'll go with Santana Moss this week.
All right, fair enough. And we had a question from the Riot Man in the chat room asking if Sidney Rice is back from the fantasy mortuary, back from the dead. Look, I know we had a good week last week, but you got to take into account the competition. They're not going to be playing Arizona every week. You know, I love Sidney Rice. I don't know why he went to Seattle to follow Tavares Jackson. I love him, but I don't think he's a fantasy factor quite yet. Let's see him do it for a couple of weeks with Jackson at quarterback against a couple of decent defenses before I'm sold. Rev, guy has a waiver wire pickup. Does he pick up Donald Jones or does he pick up Johnny Knox?
You pick up Johnny Knox because Johnny Knox has got bigger potential, I think. He's a guy that can average 20 yards per reception. He's a deep threat. I know Jay Cutler likes him a lot. I think that Donald Jones is more of a hit or miss type of guy. For every good game, he'll give you three mediocre games. I like Johnny Knox's potential down the road. I like it better.
Yeah. Hey, I agree with you. I'd pick Knox up. You know, I love him. I talked about preseason. I think he's got the potential to be the first choice in Chicago. Well, maybe other than Matt Forte, but he's got the first receiver spot to him, and Stevie Johnson's not going to allow Donald Jones to have that slot in Buffalo. All right, needs two here. Hakeem Nicks, Jeremy Maclin, Julio Jones. Well, you can throw Hernandez out. He's not playing. And David Nelson.
Yeah, I'll go with Hakeem Nicks, and I'll go with David Nelson. You know those guys are both going to see the ball. Eli Manning loves Hakeem Nicks. And with David Nelson, again, a big target at 6'5". He's got the same amount of receptions as Stevie Johnson. And so I want to go with the safe picks there. I know that both of those guys are going to get a lot of action. I'll go with Nicks. I'll go with Nelson.
I see in a line in the chat room here, haven't verified it, but it's certainly worth checking out, that Frank Gore will be inactive today. I guess Kendall Hunter's worth a run if you got him, although I don't know. In Philly, he could still shake loose. The Giants seem to get loose for a couple of running large run stints there, so check out Kendall Hunter. I said this week in a column that I would give Hunter much more playing time than Gore right now. Anyway, Gore doesn't seem to be healthy, and I guess the Niners agree he's not going to play. A lot of Big Ben questions. Rev, Big Ben or Ryan Fitzgerald? I definitely start Fitzgerald today over him.
Yeah, we talked about that before. I'm going to go with Fitzpatrick.
All right. You know, last game of the week. Boy, Monday night, I'm telling you, man, can they get a good game? Indianapolis traveling to Tampa Bay, yeah, it looked like a good game at first, but you never know. No Peyton Manning makes this a downer of a game, but not for LeGarrette Blount. You know, he finally got over 20 carries. He had 24 last week, and I think he's going to be used as much again this week at home under the lights in Tampa. You know, he might not average 4.5 yards a carry, but who cares? There's no fantasy points for yards per carry. He's going to find the end zone at least once, and I think he's a solid play. You know, 24 carries, 90 yards, a touchdown, maybe two. With Curtis Painter, a quarterback, as Rev mentioned earlier, Joseph Addai, you know, a bit of a more of a factor here. He's going to see his carries and touches increase as the weeks go on. He's worth using this week for sure. He played very well against the Steelers. And, you know, Tampa Bay and the Steelers D, pretty comparable as far as I'm concerned. So I think Addai can get it done this week for Indy. You know, Reggie Wayne and Mike Williams, right now they're both low-end number two wide receivers. You know, Reggie Wayne because of the quarterback situation and Mike Williams because teams see him as the only option for Tampa. I think you can use them both, but don't expect the numbers of number one wide receivers from either of them. The dud in here is Kellen Winslow, his banged-up knee, shocker, I know. Ineffective passing attack combined to make him pretty much an afterthought. 12 fantasy football points in three games, that's a big yikes. Similarly, the tight end in Indy, remember Dallas Clark? Yeah. 13 in three games. That's his situation. Maybe that Peyton Manning guy is making guys better, huh? Dallas Clark's had the block so much that he hasn't had a chance to get targets. I would avoid him at all costs this week. The sleeper touched on it before. The Tampa defense, I think they're a better play than San Diego or Dallas this week. Curtis Painter on Monday Night Football, like a deer in the headlights and the bright lights, I'll take that. Turnovers there. Tampa's forced 5 fumbles. They only give up 20 points a game. And they have already faced Detroit and Atlanta. That's pretty good. Expect Painter to be a bit frozen, which will lead to sacks as well. I like Tampa in this game, 27-13. Rev, your thoughts on the Monday Nighter?
Yeah, I do like Tampa in this game. I like them big. I like them to score some points here. I'm not buying that Colts defense, despite the fact that they played very well last week versus Pittsburgh. I'll go with Tampa Bay, 31, Colts. I'll give him 15 points, 31-15.
All right, here we go. PPR needs to before we wrap it up. Mike Tolbert, Lance Moore, Mike Williams, Nate Washington needs two. I think it's
Tolbert, Moore, Mike Williams from Tampa Bay, and who was the last guy?
Nate Washington. I'm going
Washington.
Moore and Williams.
Yeah, I would go with Moore and Williams myself.
Good deal. A lot of Sidney Rice talk here. Rev, what do you think of Sidney Rice going forward? I want to get your thoughts on that.
You know, I like Sidney Rice as far as an individual talent, but the guy is banged up a lot, and he's got that shoulder. I don't know if that shoulder is going to hold up all season. And then he does have Tavares Jackson throwing him the ball. That offense is just horrible. If you go up against Seattle and you're defending them, you just take Sidney Rice out of the game because – really, they don't really have any other weapons that can beat you. Zach Miller's a nice tight end, but with John Carlson out, Zach Miller's going to do a lot of blocking this year. And so I think that Sidney Rice is a guy that you might want to use some weeks as a number three receiver, but I don't think he's going to put up those same types of numbers he put up a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I don't think he will either. You know, I mean, I love this guy, but I think, you know, it's going to be a situation like Steve Smith's last year in Carolina where you know he's just a fantastic talent, but he doesn't have, let's say, the vehicle to deliver him to the promised land in Seattle. I just don't see it happening. All right, man, week 4 in the books, 2 hours flies by just like that. All Access Football, Fantasy Sports Channel exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Ross Mandel, the Rostradamus. I've been sharing time here with the Reverend Ralph Mancini. Rick Saratella, the RIC, not in the place to be this week, but I'm sure he will be next week. Rick, we need you back here. We need someone to tell us how good Jalen Parmalee is. And you know how it works. We'll see you next week.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble! Get ready to rumble! Yeah! Pump!
wait.
Thumping, and the jam is pumping. Look ahead, the crowd is